The resurrection of Jesus is his victory over death and evil. We celebrate it as a victory for all of us, because in the incarnation, the life of God is united with the life of humanity. And so it is our victory as well, a victory we share through a grace that we have been given. This is the heart of the Easter season in worship. A celebration of Christ's victory to receive, to share, and to live out in word and deed. In the words of the ancient preacher John Chrysostom, which began our Easter morning festivities, "Enter into the joy of the Lord and receive your reward. For he who was taken by death has annihilated it, and hell is embittered." Christian art all through history magnifies this victory. Many ancient icons picture Christ bursting out from a cave-like tomb. Behind him are hell's flames of fire. Under his feet is a door broken down off of its hinges. Christ is risen, and hell and death are overthrown. In some paintings, under the broken door on the ground, you can see the flailing arms and heads of ashen little gray devils, bewildered by the unexpected turn of events which has befallen them. Those are my favorites. The disciple Thomas was no ashen little gray devil. Keep your doubting Thomas monikers to yourself. But no one was more surprised by the turn of events of Christ's resurrection than he, when the other disciples said to him, "While you are out, Thomas, getting a sandwich or whatever, Jesus came to us. Sorry you weren't here." "I am too," he replied. "But I'm not sure I believe you. I want to see the scars on his hands and the wound on his side. I want to put my finger in the wound." Thomas, blessed Thomas, isn't just setting a standard for admissible evidence for resurrection. He is setting a principle. There must be wounds, even in the victory of resurrection. He would soon see for himself, there are wounds in the resurrection. There are scars in the victory. One does not declare nor achieve a victory that means very much without some scars and without some wounds. If Jesus is really the resurrected Jesus, he cannot be a Jesus floating ethereally above the pain of human life and death, where wounds are, where scars are. He cannot just wipe away what we all witnessed at the cross. If Jesus is truly alive, he'll be wearing wounds. Thomas's wisdom can save your life, can save your faith, can save your hope. Today's reading in 1 Peter follows that same path from victory to wounded victory. But this time, the victory and wounds are God's and ours. It's a letter of comfort intended to assure Christians that no matter what they face, God says they are right to hold their confession of faith and may look forward to the same kind of vindication God gave Jesus by raising him from the dead. The letter opens with a celebration of God's faithfulness and the gift given to us, a living hope and an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. These are words of assurance, celebration, confidence. They are words of Easter morning's glory. Christ the Lord is risen. Alleluia. Then, like Thomas, Peter introduces tension into the proclamation, and for good reason. This letter is written to exiles from their homes now living in Asia Minor. You learn through the letter, he's writing to enslaved people, women, the poor and the powerless, the bottom of the social pyramid, low status, and even more vulnerable because they are Christians in a pagan world. They are Christians who believe in the victory of God over death and evil and the cross and resurrection, but their lives are still, by all accounts, pretty tough. Persecution, poverty, powerlessness, and surely the travails that are common to all people at all times. There's sicknesses and sadnesses and griefs. Will life's troubles undermine their faith? Peter encourages them and us. There is the hope of resurrection, and there are still scars all around. It was true for Thomas, for early Christians, and for many of us. I remember how Pastor Chuck Poole called it the rugged side of Easter, and I love that description. It's not just the pastel-colored dresses and plastic Easter eggs. Those parts are delightful of Easter. Easter is also the burlap at the foot of the cross. It's not just the sweet scent of the lilies. It's the sharp points of the chicken wire on the cross revealed only when the flowers begin to fade. The rugged side of Easter is where there are still scars and still wounds for Jesus and his people, even in the season of resurrection. On the rugged side of Easter, Alleluia is a protest song against despair. Joy is defiance, and the body of Christ is solidarity. And we still need all three. We need protest against despair. We need joy as resistance against our temptation to greed and selfishness. And we need solidarity with all who suffer and our brothers and sisters. First Peter moves in these ways from wide-eyed praise to clear-eyed recognition that life for Christians in the resurrection isn't necessarily an easy path. Christian faith doesn't solve all of life's problems, and no matter how deep you were plunged into and lifted from the cold waters of baptism, there are times when you'll be tested by fire. If you experience distance between the glories of Easter Sunday and the realities of the world in far-off places, in the halls of power, in your own life, and things that are done in your name, you are not alone on the rugged side. Peter describes trial by fire that melts gold but purifies faith more precious than gold. Suffering, we are reminded, is not evidence of weak faith. The rain falls on the just and unjust, it said. But some storms will just about wreck you. Through it all, resurrection faith doesn't float safely above trials and suffering. It crashes through the door of despair when life is on the rugged side. Our poets and songwriters help us hold on, perhaps more than most do. We sing many hymns and choruses written from the rugged side of life, more than we might realize. Here's a few. What about "When Peace Like a River"? That's the name that the song goes by, but it's the only five words in the hymns that are placid. The rest of them are about God's faithfulness through and in suffering. You might remember the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Here's another one. Some people love this hymn. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. Anybody know the end of this? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There's an Andre Crouch song that we'll sing just before communion in a few moments. The chorus says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on his word. This music endures because it speaks from the heart to the heart of human life in every generation. We celebrate the glories of our faith. We rely and depend on them. And then we struggle. We suffer. We wonder why, or why me, or how long. And yet then we find a strength that helps us hold on. There's an old African-American spiritual that you know arose from the depths of suffering. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. More recently, Matt Redman wrote a song that came to mean a lot to our family at a certain time in our lives. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And one that's become one of my favorites. I thought it was a new hymn, but it turns out it's an old hymn. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that refuge clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Do you know? How can I keep from singing? What do all these have in common? Can you hear the theme? Running, weaving through the songs of our faith. It's a faith so gently and generously encouraged in the scripture we read this morning. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you, because of this, you have inexpressible joy. Not should have it, or will have it, or had it but lost it. You have it. You have it still. You have it now. Sometimes we just need to remember it and to access what we already have, even if it's not yet fully fulfilled. God is present in and through suffering. Christians are used to praising God when things turn out good, but the message is that in trials and sickness and tribulation and persecution and suffering of all kinds, Christians praise God and hold hope that does not fade. We join in solidarity with those who suffer. We pray and work to bring peace where there is war, and relief from poverty, and justice from injustices, wholeness and brokenness. And we pray and pray when all our work comes to an end, though it may seem futile, living hope remains, no matter what's happening. This hope remains, not just in spite of trials, but through them and in them. Resurrection hope, like faith and like love, is tested and strengthened through trials. When Jesus comes to Thomas, the still scarred body of Jesus says to him and all who wait for him, "I am with you. I am with you where it hurts. I don't float above your reality, waiting for you to be released from it before you come to me. I am with you in it. Even after death, through death, I dwell in the fire you walk through, and I will see you through." You may not always have happiness. Days can be hard. But you will know joy, the deep down kind that your songwriters have called upon and called you to, that deep down joy, the deep down kind that endures, and nothing on the rugged side can take that alleluia from you. And so, keep singing. And help others to hold on to their alleluias. Andre Crouch begins through it all with an opening stanza that leads to the chorus that we sing as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. He says, "I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong through it all."